Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Your Packers are Super Bowl champions. Welcome to Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. On the show today, we're going to be talking about a Packers Super Bowl victory. Heck, beyond that, I'm not sure what to talk about. Being the offseason's just getting started, I didn't want to talk about too much about the offseason stuff, because we're going to be talking about that for weeks and months going forward. Packer transplants might be going off the air very soon. Well, actually, they had their season finale this past Wednesday, but Railbird Central will still be on from time to time. I'm not sure how often I'll be on, if I'll be on every Tuesday and Friday, but I'll be doing as much as possible. Yeah, do you like my hat, my visor, my Super Bowl visor? I had to order it. I saw Double D wearing this during the week down there in Dallas, and I had to get one of my own. So I wanted to go a little bit different. Everybody and their brother is going to be wearing that same Super Bowl hat, the black one. And the Super Bowl hat's cool. I'm no doubt about that. But I kind of like this visor. It's pretty slick. I see earlier I was already getting some grief for my pick of the Steelers during the Super Bowl. And yeah, I right off the bat, I was wrong. I was wrong. I've never been glad to be wrong in my more glad to be wrong in my life. I picked the Steelers in a low-scoring game. And people are giving me good-natured ribbing about picking the Steelers, and that's fine and good. For the handful of you out there that act like I just punched your mother in the mouth, you know, get over it. One thing I am not, that I hope Railbird Central is not, is super fans. You remember the old Saturday Night Live skit? Da Bears. I went, just for a laugh, I went the other day to watch a few episodes. And, you know, they asked, what's your prediction for the Bulls game? Bulls versus Knicks, I think at the time, you know, way back in the early 90s or whenever the heck it was airing, you know, the Bulls were playing the Knicks in the NBA playoffs or something. And he says, 426-1. Who would win between a hurricane and Ditka? Ditka. Minimum 8-peat. Minimum 8-peat. You're not going to get that from me. I'm not going to be unabashed picking the Packers to go 16-0 every season, things like that. You're going to get what I think is going to happen. So, the good, the bad, the ugly, you're going to get that from me. I take my, you know, platform, I guess, as my 1-inch high platform as seriously as possible. and you're going to get what I think is true. So, folks, I am glad the Packers won. Ecstatic. Can't believe it. I can't believe it. I just, you know, from the beginning of the season, I thought the Packers could improve upon what they did last year when they had a first-round exit in the playoffs, when they faced the Arizona Cardinals on the road. I thought the Packers could improve upon that. Did I think they were going to go to the Super Bowl? No. Did I think they were going to win the Super Bowl? No. I thought that was next year. And I still think they can do it again next year. But yeah, I'm in awe. I'm in awe. I can't believe it. I see the poll. Very nice, Alex. My sporting specialty. I was a pole vaulter in high school. An average one. But I did coach pole vaulting for, I think it was 7 years, and coached some pretty good pole vaulters along the way. Glad to do that. Happy, fun to do that. Love pole vaulting. But this is a Packers show. Whatever anyone wants to talk about, we can do today. I really don't have a whole lot of a schedule here. I suppose I can take a quick peek at the what's going on in the Packers Daily Links, although it isn't even that interesting today. Basically, in today's Packers Daily Links, we're just looking at a bunch of Packers representatives making the talk show rounds. And I'll just make a quick run through them here to let you know what the Packers have been doing the past couple days. Our top story is about Mike McCarthy making an appearance on the Jim Rome show and was asked about Brett Favre. Clay Matthews appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday. In addition to that, Clay Matthews is going to be a presenter at the Grammy Awards this upcoming Sunday night. First Sunday without football in a long time. Long, long time. What's everybody going to do this Sunday? Greg Jennings was on the George Lopez show, or I guess it's not called the George Lopez show. It's called Lopez Tonight, isn't it, on TBS? He did that Wednesday night. Jordy Nelson did a bunch of local radio interviews in Manhattan, Kansas, where he went to college at his alma mater, Kansas State. You know, that's about it. There's kind of one hard-hitting journalism story today coming from Pete Doherty at the Green Bay Press-Gazette about the offseason. Like I said, I didn't want to get too much into the offseason just because, you know, we got weeks. You know, if we're going to be doing Railbird Centrals here throughout the off season, I want to save some talking points. We got plenty of time to talk about the CBA, the draft, the combine coming up. So let's save this as a Super Bowl recap, a Super Bowl review. David mentions here on the live blog. Love Jennings on the Lopez show. Awesome that he talked about the Gumby video. Hilarious. Yeah, that was kind of interesting that he showed he was aware of the Madden video, the viral video online. If you haven't seen it yet, you'll have to check it out sometime. But no, that's great. Oh, got a question here. A comment from Brian Carver. When watching the Steelers-Ravens playoff game, there was a point that it made me think Pitt is getting ready to go for it on fourth down in the hurry-up offense. John Harbaugh threw the challenge flag, giving his team time to change the defense on the field. They decided not to challenge, saving him a timeout. I think he still should have been charged a timeout. What's your thoughts? Holy cow, Brian Carver. That's so long ago. I didn't even watch that game. I didn't see it. I'd have to go back and look at it to really give you a thorough answer on that. But I'll give it some consideration though. So, I see Franklin Hillside checking in on the live blog, saying we crushed in Dallas. And Franklin, if you're watching out there, not just listening, you'll see in the background here, I put it up. I'm honored to say that the Packer Ranter, the folks at the Packer Ranter, Franklin and Robert, bestowed upon Corey Banky and myself the Tracy White Certificate of Excellence. So I have that on display. And to my knowledge, the Tracy White Certificate of Excellence, that's pretty much like the Pulitzer Prize of Packers blogging. There is no higher honor than the Tracy White Certificate of Excellence. So thank you, Franklin. I appreciate it very much. I take that honor to be more prestigious than just about anything I've achieved in life. So, yes, that's proudly displayed in the background. So, oh, Tracy White. Just laughing about that the other day here. If I could read the inscription here on the award, too, it says, this is a good one here. In honor of Tracy White, the Green Bay Packers special team standout from 2006 to 2007 and 5 games in 2008. I just love that. It had to be pointed out. He did play 5 games in 2008. Of course, that was when he was cut to make way for somebody who's no longer on the roster anymore. But I digress. Maybe I'm not digressing. Like I said, I don't have much of a schedule for today's show. I suppose I could recap the time in Dallas a little bit. I know what, you know, everybody, I know I wondered about what it was like to cover a Super Bowl. And I just wanted to describe a little bit what, you know, the media center is like. So you go to the, I think it was held at the Sheraton downtown in Dallas. That's kind of like the hub where all the action was. And that's where the media center is. All the media is housed there. Most of the media, except Alex Talich and Jamie Jors and I, we're located about half hour away in Lewisville, Texas, at a Roadway Inn on a shoestring budget. But most of the media, they're all housed in the Sheraton, right where the media center is downstairs, and you know their banquet and meeting facilities. There's basically two huge areas, two large areas. There's Radio Row, and it's far from being a row. I suppose it got the name when it first started. I think I remember hearing right around the turn of the century, year 2000 or so. The Radio Row was a row. You know, just 10 years ago, there was about 5 radio stations at the Super Bowl. Well, in just a decade's time, it was it's exploded. There was probably about, I would say, there was over 100 radio stations there, 120 radio stations. You know, most of them, you know, certainly there was a bunch of local ones, you know, ones Packer fans have heard of before, you know, 620 WTMJ, the flagship station of the Packers radio network was there. In Green Bay, the Fan, what are they, 1400, the Fan. You know, the network that Johnny Gray and Harry Sidney are on. You know, and a bunch of others. Jason Wilde of ESPN Milwaukee and Drew Olsen were there. So there's the local ones, and the Steelers had their local ones. But mostly, it was, you know, local stations elsewhere. You know, a lot of ESPN radio affiliates from all over the country. I mean, Nashville was there, I saw. You know, just you name it, they're from all over. You know, a bunch of Texas ones, of course, as well, being the host city. And it just is amazing to see that environment, the buzz that's going on all the time, especially in the middle of the day. You know, at night it's kind of dead. You know, not many of the people there are hosting their shows at night. They're doing the morning drive time, the afternoon drive time, and kind of the middle of the day shows. But during those times, especially toward the end of the week, it's it's pretty star-studded, you know, just walking around, and I could just walk around and watch any, look at anything I wanted to, and, you know, there's players for, you know, former Packers, you know, I saw James Loft in there, Jerry Kramer, Dave Robinson, those guys walking around, making their rounds, and, you know, players from other teams. I remember Ndamukong Suh was there doing a couple interviews. And, you know, it's just really cool. In addition to celebrities, and those of you who were watching Cheesehead TV, reading Cheesehead TV all week, saw the fantastic work from Corey Behnke and the photography he did. You know, you saw the pictures he took of, you know, Adam Sandler and Maria Menounos and Hugh Jackman, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you could go to the Cheesehead TV homepage after the show and check them all out. I'm sure most of you have already, and Corey Behnke just does such a fantastic job, but really, really cool. David, do the media people get free food? Yes. Yes, we get free food. I didn't have to, I hardly had to spend a dime on food, which was nice, you know, with me on the shoestring budget. But, yeah, I ate free many a times and was very nice. And the other area is the media workroom, and there's nothing really too special about the media workroom. It's just it is just row upon row of tables, long, you know, banquet tables. But it was really cool to work in that type of environment. Hundreds of NFL writers, journalists across the country, just doing their thing, you know, doing just what we were doing, pumping out articles and pictures and things like that, and podcasts, and it was really neat. I mean, to work in that type of environment and you know, with so many people around, it's not really a quiet environment. People are talking, whatever, and it just was. Literally my highlight working there, and it really encouraged me to work, you know, really brought out the best in me, I hoped and thought, and it really was cool. But anyway, if anybody has any questions about the Super Bowl, feel free to call in 646-797-2909. You know, like I said, I don't really have much of a schedule today. If anybody has any questions about the Super Bowl or comments about it, anything you want to talk about, you know, I don't take phone calls. It doesn't really matter too much to me. So whatever you want to do, questions you had on the live blog, you know, feel free as well. Throw them out and I'll do my best to answer them. I guess a few things I wanted to mention about the game itself that perhaps didn't get the play it deserved. You know, I never had time this week. Usually every week I do my blue chips, red chips, and cow chips from every game. And just being busy this week, the day after the Super Bowl, Alex and I were driving back for, you know, it took me 17 hours worth of driving from Dallas back to my home. And never got time to post that article, but I tell you what, the blue chips for me probably would have been, of course, Aaron Rodgers, the Super Bowl MVP. But the other blue chip, I would say Desmond Bishop was mine. I really think he just had a stellar, fantastic game. And of course, you know, defensive guys, it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. Desmond Bishop didn't have any touchdowns or even a sack or an interception, but he had three tackles for a loss. Three tackles. And, of course, he had the crucial fumble recovery. You know, in fumble recoveries, that's being at the right place at the right time. But at least he was at the right place at the right time, though. He was there and was able to do that, so which is more than you can say for a lot of people. Desmond Bishop just was a tackling machine, I thought. He did a very nice job helping stuff the run game. Rashard Mendenhall, especially up the middle. The Steelers could not run up the middle during the Super Bowl. And, of course, that was due to the Packers using their base defense and hippo defense so much. The Packers used hippo more than they had any time the whole season, I think. You know, four down linemen, in addition to the outside linebackers on the edge. So, basically, six guys there right on the line of scrimmage. A lot of times on early downs. So, yeah, I mean, Desmond Bishop just really, he was a blue chip performer in my eyes during the Super Bowl. The red chips, I mean, you can go down a list and come up with a bunch of red chips. I mean, Greg Jennings with two touchdowns, I believe. Jordy Nelson setting the Packers franchise record for receiving yards in the Super Bowl. I mean, even though Jordy Nelson had a couple drops, there was also, you know, he did have nine catches for 140 yards, which were very valuable to the team. So, you know, good job there by Jordy Nelson. You know, who on the defensive side? Clay Matthews, of course, had a nice day. You know, I thought the whole defensive line, although they didn't have any sacks or anything, played nice. Frank Zombo got the only sack of the Super Bowl. Charlie Peppra led the team in tackles, and it didn't really give up much. Tremont Williams on defense, again, played fantastic. That stupid penalty of his was rather costly, but on defense, Tremont Williams played another A game. And speaking of tackles, the underrated, you know, player of the game, most underrated, the Cheesehead TV Special Teams Player of the Week goes to Brett Swain. Brett Swain had three special teams tackles during the Super Bowl. Pretty much his best special teams performance of the year. Including, he put one good lick on the Steelers punt returner. What was his name? Antonio. Is it Antonio Brown? I forget the name off the top of my head. B. Markovich asked me, where's Nick Collins fall? Nick Collins is up there as well. I mean, his interception return for a touchdown was just priceless and such a huge play in the game. I think when he got that, you know, the momentum really swung in favor of the Packers and, you know, gave him a nice cushion to do. Nick Collins, there's a couple times there in run support where he missed some tackles. You know, I counted at least twice that were kind of iffy, which downgrade him slightly in my opinion. But I mean, again, you can't deny the interception return for that touchdown. Packers Lounge says Bush had a nice hit on Ben too for a smaller guy. You know, yeah, Jared Bush, you can't deny what he did during that game. You know, he went and had the, he has the interception, which is a beautiful interception where he just stepped in front of the pass and almost really wrestled it away from the wide receiver and put that hit on the blitz on Ben Roethlisberger. Very good job. Of course, he got beat by the touchdown pass, but, you know, Jarrett Bush helped make up for that as well, which he hasn't been known to do in the past. But yeah, making up for it with aplomb. That interception was a thing of beauty, and good on Jared Bush. I mean, that's a guy who's been, you know, drawn the ire of fans for years, and for him to have an interception in the Super Bowl, and basically that'll be his legacy, the guy who got an interception in the Super Bowl, you know, good on Jared Bush. Good for him. It's 8:35. Going to take a little bit of a break here. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more Super Bowl. But just hang on for a second, and we will be back shortly.
This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us once again here on Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Didn't want theme song music to come on. Thanks much for joining us, everyone. Once again, if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, they will get through to the blog. But we're moderating comments as always, so perhaps not as always, but Alex from the Packers Lounge is moderating some comments today, so we've got that going. And glad everyone could join us here in our Super Bowl recap edition of Railbird Central. Once again here, if you want to call in, 646-797-2909 as we recap the Packers 31-26 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. I was taking a look over some of the statistics, the stat sheet from the Super Bowl. Some of the guys, mentioned them before, that maybe not necessarily don't get their due. Charlie Peppera, I'm looking at through it here, the leading tackler, had 10 tackles during the Super Bowl. You know, how good, how big of a role has Charlie Peppera played all season long? And credit the coaching staff. If you remember, right when Atari Bigby got healthy, they started to play Bigby a little bit during the season. Do you remember that? I mean, you got to go back a couple months ago now, mid-season, middle of the regular season. Bigby comes back, and all of a sudden, they started kind of rotating him and Peppera. You know, a series here and a series there. And for Peppera to come in and play as solidly as he did all season long, really fantastic. I think everybody will remember, what was it, the regular season finale against the Bears? Peppera had the interception. Was that the game, if I remember correctly? You know, that iced the trip to the playoffs. John Rahor says, just imagine if Peppera had not been signed. How many of us questioned that signing? I guess a lot of people perhaps shook their heads at the time and thought, you know, what's Charlie Peppera going to do? But, you know, the Packers suffered a lot of injuries at the safety position. A lot of injuries, thinking back on it. Morgan Burnett, their starter at season's offset. Then you have Derek Martin, special teams ace, who got injured. And then his replacement, Anthony Smith, who the Packers traded for at midseason. He got injured. And that's what basically elevated Charlie Peppera to the starting role. David says Peppera is one of the best tacklers on the team, and absolutely is. Great tackler. So aggressive when he comes up into the box. Yeah, that was his forte this season, coming up into the box and making tackles. You didn't see that out of Morgan Burnett, or at least that much aggressiveness. And, you know, I would say Peppera's weakness comparatively would be his pass coverage. But he didn't really get beat all that much either, though. You know, he played deep, and, you know, that helped him out. You know, I think he realizes he's a little step slower than some of the wide receivers he's facing. So, fantastic. Just Charlie Peppera, underrated part of this Packers defense and team and their run to the Super Bowl, and going to be a free agent at season's end here, if I'm correct. I think Peppera signed a one-year deal. Or didn't we talk about this before? I can't remember. Is Peppera going to be free agent? And, you know, I'm just running out of things to talk about here, and I suppose I'm almost required to talk about the off season, seeing as it's, you know, there's no more football to be analyzed upcoming here in the near future. But you know, other free agents the Packers have, of course, Cullen Jenkins is the big one. And what's really going to be interesting here, Illinois Pack fan says, yes, Pepper is a UFA. Really, really interesting. Speaking of pardon me as I have brain freeze here. Speaking of Cullen Jenkins, the franchise tag. Cullen Jenkins would seem to be a candidate for the franchise tag this season, but there's kind of like this disagreement between the owners and the players, the NFL and the union, about whether or not there will be tags this year. You know, the contract language says is that tags can be applied before the league year technically ends. You know, they talk about this March 4th deadline when the CBA expires. And, you know, technically teams are allowed to apply tags before that time, but not after that time. So, you know, the players' union is saying you can't apply tags at all, and that will be challenged in court or something like that. So, just really interesting going forward here. How many teams, you know, will they apply these tags? Not just to Cullen Jenkins, but any team across the NFL. Are they going to put a tag on, you know, these players because of that? And here, Brian Carver puts up a good comment here. The tag for a D lineman is $13 million because of Haynesworth. Now, I don't think that tags are broken up just as a D lineman in general, broken up by defensive tackles and defensive ends, if I'm correct. I could be wrong, but you know, I think it's the defensive tackle tag that's going to be so high because of Albert Haynesworth. I could be wrong. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams out there that are going to struggle with their decision on franchise tags because of that, because of Albert Haynesworth and how much the Redskins paid him, and that's pushing up the price. I suppose if that is the case for Cullen Jenkins, maybe the Packers will pass on the franchise tag. I don't think they want to put up $13 million for Cullen Jenkins. But if it is lower, if it's in the realm of $10 million per season, that's a choice the Packers have to make. And every team has to make, as I'm saying here, whether it's going to be legal or illegal to place these tags upon these players before the CBA expires. We will see as time goes on here. I don't know what the answer is, so. Jamie Lee says, talk about Pat Lee. So Pat Lee played a large role during the Super Bowl. Charles Woodson breaks his collarbone. I'm not sure the extent of Charles Woodson's injury. If it is, does anybody out there know? Did he break it or what the deal is? Fractured it? I have no clue. But anyway, Charles Woodson injures his collarbone. Sam Shields has diagnosed that as a shoulder sprain. So those two guys, two of the best cornerbacks on the team, go out, don't play a whole lot, second half especially. Shields did make an appearance briefly in the, I think, the fourth quarter, but left again. And Pat Lee really played a nice game, you know, especially with the qualifier considering he hadn't played all year. Did Pat Lee play on defense all year long? I'm not sure he did, because Jared Bush was the first, you know, sub in. Basically, he's their dime back, and then, you know, he moved up to the nickel position, basically, once both Shields and Woodson got hurt. But then they had to go too deep and had to go to Pat Lee. Yeah, I'm to tell you the truth, I'm not sure if Pat Lee played an entire snap of defense all year. He might have late in the Atlanta game or something, the NFC divisional round there against Atlanta when the Packers were just killing the Falcons and they kind of, you know, were emptying their bench a little bit and letting some guys play. But, I mean, as far as meaningful snaps, man, I don't think Pat Lee's played a snap all year. He didn't get beat, made a couple tackles. You know, I thought Pat Lee played pretty well on, you know, the biggest stage of his career. So kudos to Pat Lee, who, again, another especially underrated player. If I thought the job that Charlie Pepper and Desmond Bishop did was underrated, you know, the one that Pat Lee is even more underrated than that. And solid job for a guy who really needed that going forward, kind of guy who's down the depth chart. Pat Lee had a good year on special teams this year, but as a gunner opposite Jared Bush. But other than that, he hadn't made much of an impact, so good on him. B. Markovich 50 Cent says we need to move on to Kuhn. Kuhn. Yeah, John Kuhn is a free agent after the season. And, you know, the saying is that John Kuhn is more valuable to the Packers than any other team in the NFL. And I would say that might be accurate. I mean, somehow the Packers have, you know, found a job for Kuhn that is unlike any other fullback in the NFL. Not only does he play fullback, but he can, you know, be a halfback, and he can catch the ball, and he can pass protect, and he can be a goal line ball carrier, and, you know, a short yardage ball carrier, and a special teams guy. And Kuhn is really valuable. Yeah, I think he is. He really had a solid season, and I hope he comes back. I mean, in my opinion, he's the most valuable fullback on the team. So he takes precedence over a Corey Hall, over a Quinn Johnson. Corey Hall is another free agent. You know, Quinn Johnson will be back just based upon his contract isn't up. And, yeah, I mean, Kuhn, how much money he makes, I have no clue. He had a solid season, but it's not like he was a Pro Bowler, so I don't think he's going to be making millions upon millions. So I think the Packers make a very competitive offer, and I think John Kuhn realizes Green Bay is where I want to play, because Green Bay, I'm going to touch the ball. I'm going to score touchdowns with the Packers. I'm not so sure he's going to do that with other teams in the NFL. So there's a lot of incentive there for John Kuhn to perhaps take a little bit less money to be that type of player who's going to touch the ball in Green Bay. Quinn Johnson needs better pad levels, says Illinois Pack fan. And Illinois Pack fan also says, if you ask me, Brandon Jackson is the important one to bring back because of his pass protection. And certainly. You know, I think Brandon Jackson is going to want to test the market, depending upon the outcome of the collective bargaining agreement. If four-year players are unrestricted free agents, as you know, I think they're expected to be with a new CBA, but we will see. Brandon Jackson will want to test the market because I think he'll want to find a place where he'll have a bigger role. You know, I think with the Packers, he'll be a third down back. He'll be a guy. And I think he is great at pass pro. Great pass protection. A pretty decent receiver out of the backfield as well. You know, everybody remembers his screen pass for a touchdown. What was that? In the Philadelphia playoff game, if I'm correct. And, you know, he has a spot on the team. But I just think Brandon Jackson, though, you know, the incentive for John Kuhn to stay in Green Bay is not the same as the incentive for Brandon Jackson to stay in Green Bay. Brandon Jackson's going to want to test the market and go where he'll find some playing time, more playing time. He'll have playing time in Green Bay. He'll just basically be on third down exclusively or, you know, second and long, things like that. So for him, he's the guy that's going to want to test the market, see what's out there. It, you know, should whatever happens with the CPA, depending upon that outcome. So, saw some comments about Quinn Johnson there when we were talking about John Kuhn. You know, a little bit of a underreported story, or at least one that kind of was forgotten quickly, is shortly before the Super Bowl when they came away with the inactive lists, Quinn Johnson was surprisingly a game day inactive for the Super Bowl. Quinn Johnson had started two playoff games. And again, I always have to preface this with saying the term starter is kind of overrated. All that means is he played the first snap of the game. A fullback in the Packers offense could play the first snap of the game and only play 10 snaps overall. You know, and so, I mean, doesn't mean a whole lot. But, I mean, still, I mean, apart from starting, Quinn Johnson did play a fair amount of snaps during the playoffs. You know, Corey Hall was injured for a while, so they really needed him. And it just came as a surprise to me that Quinn Johnson was inactive. One of those didn't make the 45-man active roster for the Super Bowl. After I thought about it, it made sense. The Packers realized, you know, in that domed environment, they weren't going to need a punishing running game. So that's why they didn't need Quinn Johnson. Instead, they made Jarius Winn active. And as I saw Jarius Winn, I don't think it. The official stat sheet says Jarius Winn did not play during the Super Bowl. Which I guess was, again, a slight surprise for me. Jarius Winn had been a third and long rusher in, like, the nickel defense from that defensive tackle position. I believe Jarius Winn also played on extra point defense. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch closely to see if Jarius Winn didn't play. But it was just surprising that Quinn wasn't, you know, here he goes and he's such a big part of the team and the run to the Super Bowl and then didn't play in it. Perhaps the reason Jarius Winn didn't play because he was up all night with his wife when she gave birth. Wasn't properly rested for the game. I don't know. I don't want to go there. I'm sure he was fine, but but I suppose it, you know, it was kind of interesting that if they didn't use Jarius Winn at all, why didn't they have Quinn Johnson active, who maybe could have played a little bit? And I suppose it was partially done for defensive line depth. If all of a sudden the Packers suffer an injury during the game, they have Jarius Wynn to turn to as well. But anyway, these are just things that go through my mind. Some of the underreported stories that perhaps aren't getting attention anywhere else. Just thoughts. I'm not jumping to any conclusions, drawing any conclusions, but rather just bringing it up as a point of conversation. And Illinois Pack fan says, congrats to the Wynn family. And yes, congratulations to them. There was a story that they were going to make his the baby's middle name Super. Super for Super Wynn for being in the Super Bowl. So one story that I would like to perhaps pursue this offseason sometime. We'll see how much time I have. But everybody knows the Packers didn't have much of a running game this year. You know, they were far down the list of the top running teams in the league. James Starks only carried the ball, 11 times during the Super Bowl? And I think the Packers proved you don't have to have a dominant running game to win. I mean, Packers have about a least dominant running game as there's ever been for a Super Bowl champion, although others have certainly not been very good either. I remember the Colts a couple years ago didn't have much of a running game. But where was I going with this? Oh, I'd like to examine the Packers. You would be confused by watching them if you didn't watch them closely, just based upon the personnel they use. You'd be surprised they didn't have a more dominant running team. I mean, what team keeps three fullbacks? You know, they're the only team in the league that even keeps three fullbacks, and they don't add a whole lot to the running game. Well, I should say it's my personal opinion that the short game come more from the offensive line that doesn't fit their strengths. I think they are better pass blockers than they are run blockers. But just from the amount of times the Packers line up in the bone formations, the inverted wishbone, the T-bone formation with the three fullbacks all lined up in a row, you know, bring in B.J. Raji in, you know, just that personnel and the amount they use those type of things, utilize them, you would just think, just by looking at them, that they would have a more dominant running game. I think outsiders would be surprised at that. And, you know, how they're able to contribute to the success in the passing game then. You see the inverted wishbone, and the Packers will pass as much out of that formation as they do run. Yeah, people are bringing this up. Four tight ends as well. See some questions about Donald Lee. Good question about him. He isn't a free agent. He's scheduled to be back next year. I don't know if he will. You want to talk about a guy, a tight end, who had a good season? We're talking about Tom Crabtree. I'm not just saying that because Tom Crabtree's been a guest of Cheesehead TV twice now on Packer Transplants. I'm just telling the truth. Tom Crabtree was the best tight end on the roster this season. And it's not because of his catches. He didn't have very many. He only had one touchdown the whole year and very few catches on top of that. But, I mean, the guy, for basically, he's a rookie. Tom Crabtree was a rookie this year. Think about that. You know, he was around last year. Did Tom Crabtree ever play in a regular season game prior to this year? I don't think he has. Tom Crabtree was a rookie. And for him to do what he did, you know, to basically play the H-back position in which he's lining up as a fullback as much as he does tight end, you know, it's unbelievable how good of a job he did this year. Yes, he struggled a little bit sometimes in the blocking game, but I mean, he's a rookie. He's a rookie. And when he did have catches, as they broke down during Packer transplant, that one-yard catch, that was pretty sweet. He was reliable. He was a reliable receiver when he got the chance. Just think that, you know, he's not going to burn anybody with his speed, and that's why the Packers don't utilize him all that much in that role. But he really had a good season and can see him having a long career with the Green Bay Packers. And the good thing is that it's not going to cost the Packers probably a whole lot to sign him, because he's not much of a threat in the passing game, and that's where the money typically money follows that. But yeah, his blocking is very valuable, very valuable. And I think he can make a Donald Lee expendable. Now, John Rayor says, Finley, Crabtree, Corliss, sick depth at tight end going into next year. Just interesting what the Packers will do in the offseason with all these free agents. You know, some of them, they might be, watch them walk away. Some of them, I mean, they probably can't re-sign all of them, but they'll watch some of them walk away. But that's okay too, because as you remember, the Packers get compensatory draft choices for losing free agents. You know, the Packers are going to get a draft choice this draft from losing Aaron Kampman, as of yet undetermined round, probably a third, fourth, or fifth. I would assume just, you know, law of averages, go with the middle round, not too high, not too low, probably a fourth rounder, that's my prediction. But things like that can happen if the Packers lose free agents. They get draft choices in return for losing some. And just another quick thought, you know, this past year there was a rule instituted in the last league year of the collective bargaining agreement that, you know, the further you advance during the playoffs, the less free agents you're allowed to sign. Like with the Super Bowl champions, you had to lose a free agent before you could even sign a free agent. Something like that. Something along those lines. So that's another thing to watch, is this whole CBA collective bargaining agreement plays out, whether that rule will stay in place. Because that was only a rule for 1 year here. 1 year, you know, as the last league year, as they called it. But that might be something that they work in to future ones as well, as the NFL is big on competitive balance. Anyhow, I think we've ran out of time here. Thanks for joining us, folks, on Railbird Central. Thanks for joining us the whole entire season. I suppose this is the season finale of Real Bird Central, but the next season will start very shortly. It'll start up next week, perhaps, if I have some time. So I'll keep everybody updated on Twitter when times will be, what days will be. We'll have Real Bird Central. But pretty soon we'll be talking draft stuff. The NFL Combine is 2 weeks away only. 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away. So stay tuned for that. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Take care. Thank for Alex Talich moderating today. Thanks a whole lot for watching, and we'll see you later.